Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Erin Balchi is Program Manager for the South Dakota Department of Veterans Affairs. As of late, she's been working on outreach for incarcerated veterans, among her other duties, and she's also Executive Director of South Dakota Joining Forces, and she joins us today in our Sioux Falls studio with more. Erin, thanks for coming back.
Thank you so much for having me back.
A good time for an update, because it's been a while since you've been here, and so let's talk a little bit about, you know, the big umbrella here of what you're doing for South Dakota veterans to sort of paint the picture before we get into some of the details.
Okay. So with our work with the South Dakota Department of Veterans Affairs, as always, we are being the voices for veterans, filing claims for them, working with the veterans and their families for their veterans benefits. And then on the South Dakota Joining Forces side, we're still building that database of resources to make sure that military veterans and their family members are aware of what resources are available to them throughout the state.
All right. So how has the response been for South Dakota Joining Forces with people and communities who have really wanted to be part of this overall? I mean, it's a relatively new program, but good response so far?
Absolutely. People are really appreciative that we are coming to those small corners of the state and showing them that we do care about them, and that we are finding those resources that they may not know about that are in, you know, their own communities, and highlighting them to make sure that they are educated on what is available and what they're entitled to, or just resources in general, to make sure that they're taken care of and getting through that right door at the right time.
Always important to remember and remind people this is a state, you know, South Dakota State Department of Veterans Affairs. It's not the same as federal, but do you also help people kind of find their way to the right federal resources? Explain how that connection
Absolutely,
works.
Lori. We are essentially a one-stop shop for resources, whether it be for the state of South Dakota for Department of Veterans Affairs or our Joining Forces side. So if a veteran or their family comes into our office in Sioux Falls or in Pierre and they're wanting to file for federal benefits, we actually advocate for them, help them with the paperwork, answer any questions they may have, and then, again, advocate for them going through the claims process or the benefits process up through the federal VA side.
How do people reach out and find the person that they should call and talk to?
They can look on our website, and that's vetaffairs.sd.gov. They can find information for the claims office or our administrative office in Pierre. If they are looking for a veteran service officer, we're actually in the regional office, the VA regional office, on the VA campus in Sioux Falls. We are room 103. So they can come in. We take walk-ins only, no appointments necessary. And they can just walk in and say they want to talk to a veteran service officer about their benefits, and we'll get them in right away with somebody.
All right. So that's the basics for those who are now we're all caught up. Now tell us some of the things you've been sort of making particular efforts to reach out to South Dakota veterans who might be behind bars. Tell us about that.
Well, this is something new that our department has started. Back in April, I was invited to the Mike Durfee State Prison job fair. And while I was there, there were a couple veterans that stopped by my table, and they were getting ready to get out. And I was talking to them about getting their benefits reinstated, you know, stuff like that. And they kind of looked at me like a deer in the headlights, had no idea about any of the benefits that they could still be entitled to or could have been getting for not only themselves or their families while they were incarcerated. So I realized that, you know, this is probably a need here in the state. So then when I was there, some of the Department of Corrections staff were overhearing my conversations with these inmates, and they would pull me aside and say, well, I'm a veteran. What about this? What about that? So we did some more digging, and we found out that there are roughly 400 incarcerated veterans every month here in South Dakota. Mm-hmm. And then we did some even more digging and found out that the Department of Corrections actually employs almost 140 to 150 veterans on their staff here in the state as well. So this was an arm of outreach that we decided to kind of dig deep into and dive deep into. So I went through the pink tag training out at the penitentiary and got my access. Now I'm able to go into the prison systems here in the state of South Dakota and just walk through and meet with those incarcerated veterans, either in our group sessions or one-on-one, to discuss their benefits with them individually.
Let's talk about how important that might be, not only because there might be a benefit that they have access to, But just bringing, you know, for somebody who's incarcerated, when we talk about recidivism and, you know, rehabilitation or the transition, like when you said these people were getting out, I thought, are they getting out of the military? Are they getting out of jail? Well, there's a transition to both of those things that can be a very difficult time to get through. And there's a full circle kind of conversation here saying, don't forget, this is what you once did. And now you're heading into another transition, or this is who you still are, or so expand on this idea with, you know, you're telling them one thing, but there's really so much more to the conversation. Do they kind of get that too?
I think so. Yeah. This is something that the feedback that I've gotten for them is just, wow, I had no idea all of this was available to me or my family. And Lori, talking about the educating and making them aware of resources starts when they do get out. You know, a lot of situations where, you know, these veterans got behind bars was because they weren't taking advantage of the resources that were available to them before they were incarcerated. So if a veteran's getting out of the service and they're dealing with maybe some mental health issues or something like that, instead of going to the VA and using those mental health resources, we're seeing some of them are self-medicating with drugs or alcohol, and then just kind of getting in a downward spiral where if they knew about what was available to them, maybe their path could have been different. So the importance of us talking with them now and making sure that they're educated on what resources are available to them while they are behind bars or when they're getting ready to get out can definitely help that recidivism rate. If you say, like with the job fair, all of these businesses that came and said, we will hire you, come see us right away, and then add, you have mental health resources available to you if you want. There's family counseling available. Hey, did you know that there are these housing resources or these food pantries? And then with the joining forces side of the picture, we're able to locate, you know, wherever they're going back to in these different communities, figuring out and pinpointing what resources are available there so that we make sure that they get set up with the proper resources so that their chances of making it when they get out are so much higher.
Right. Do veterans lose benefits when they're incarcerated? That has to be one of the first questions they ask.
So, you know, it's incredible. All of the rights that they do lose when they go behind bars, the veterans' benefits are some they actually get to keep. And so if a veteran has a service-connected disability, they are entitled to compensation. And when they go, when they get incarcerated, they're only eligible for a 10% portion of that service-connected disability. And the rest of that money that they were entitled to before doesn't go anywhere. It's just not there. But if you have a dependent under the age of 18 or you have a spouse, they're able to file for an apportionment of those benefits. And that's something that a lot of the incarcerated veterans that I've been talking to had no idea that that was available. And so when I'm talking with them, it's giving them that information of, let's take a look, see what you've been getting, see what you're entitled to. Then let's start talking with your family. Let's give them our contact information so that they can call our office and make sure they're set up with a service officer so that they can file for those benefits.
So, can they file for new benefits?
Yes,
so
they can.
You know, they're having a health problem that seems to be attached to something that happened when they were in the service, but yet they're in the state penitentiary. They can still go through that process.
Yep, they can. The process of going to the exams is going to be quite difficult, but there are ways that we can try to provide evidence to the VA without them being in person. Obviously, every case is going to be different, but we will look into closer, you know, on a individual basis of what we can do to try to have a favorable outcome for those claims. But if their family is already getting an apportionment and their VA compensation can go up for an increase in one of those disabilities, that just means that that family will get more of that benefit from the veteran.
Talk about the women's prison, because you've also reached out to women.
Yes.
Same idea. Are there different, is it a different conversation for women behind bars?
I would say that
women veterans.
Yeah, women veterans. Yeah. You know, veterans are veterans. And so I see that, you know, they do have the same questions about benefits and entitlements. Some of their claims are going to be different. And so we'll have to, again, look at the individual basis for that as well. But the number of incarcerated veterans in the women's prison is definitely a lower number. But again, they have the exact same need of any other veteran that would be in their situation.
If you had education benefits and then went to, you know, it went behind bars for 2 to 5 years, let's say. Mm-hmm. Does the clock keep ticking, and now you've lost some of your year-long? For some of the older, I think, you know, mm-hmm. the newer veterans maybe don't have the same time constraints that some of the older GI Bills did. How does the time work?
So, again, on individual basis, right, yeah. we have program managers for education and peer. And so, again, if any veterans have questions about their education benefits, or if an incarcerated veteran had questions about that, we would look and see what GI Bill or what education benefit they opted in for, and then we can give them a better idea of what they'd still be entitled to or what would still be available to them.
Yeah. How important is this work to you now that you've sort of done this as part of the big package of what you're doing, reaching all veterans? Mm-hmm. It has to have a sort of different feel to sort of particularly reach out to people who have committed crimes and been convicted of them.
Mm-hmm. And it does. Being able to meet with them and have that conversation with them where it doesn't appear that anyone's really done that for them. I had an inmate tell me last week that he's been there for 25 years, and this is the first time anybody has come and talked to them about these kind of benefits. You know, there's a lot of emotions that go into it, and pride is not usually something that the inmates talk about. But when we're able to have a conversation about their military service and about what they did and the camaraderie that they have with their fellow veterans, they're very proud of it. And that's something that is a positive light on, you know, sometimes some dark days. It's very important because some of these people are going to be getting out and they're going to be coming back to our neighborhoods and our cities and our communities, and making sure that we're educating them on the benefits that are going to be available to them when they get out to have, again, a better chance of making it. I can't really put my finger on, you know, the emotion to it, but it makes me proud to know that we are making a difference for their future and making a difference for the whole of our community by helping them.
Yeah. The work that you work with Veterans Court as well, is there a connection between?
So I am not the point of contact for our Veterans Court. We actually have a field service officer that is involved with that, but that is definitely something that our department is very passionate about and that they participate in and support throughout the state and in Minnehaha County.
So it's been made public that your department will go through a transition with Secretary Zimmerman mm-hmm. not being selected by Governor-elect Noem to continue mm-hmm. in his role. And he has said that on through a press release and online.
Yep.
He will be dearly missed. Talk a little bit about Larry Zimmerman, if you will.
Lori, well, where do well, I begin?
We can hold it together.
I know. I would never be able to do the work that we've been able to grow our department and what we've been able to do for veterans if it weren't for him. The passion that he has about helping veterans, military, and their family members, you can't compare that to anybody else, I think, in our state or who we've been able to work with. It's going to be a hard transition for our department. I don't think that's surprising to anybody, but I think he has helped set up our foundation for the South Dakota Department of Veterans Affairs that will enable us to continue to keep growing and grow our passion and grow our resources. And the strength of our department definitely started with him.
Yeah, big shoes to fill there for whoever takes on that role. Lots
Absolutely.
Of veterans have much to say about how Larry has helped them personally.
Absolutely.
So.